The book of Isaiah chapter 2, I'll read from verse 1. The word that Isaiah the son of Amos saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. Now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow to it. Many peoples shall come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, that's what they are looking for, and we shall walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He said, he shall judge between the people, nations, and rebuke many peoples. They shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. Verse 5 says, O house of Jacob, come and let us walk in the light of the Lord. For you have forsaken your people, the house of Jacob. Why? Because they are filled with eastern ways. He said, because they are filled with influences from the east, and they are soothsayers like the Philistines. And they are pleased with the children of foreigners. Their land is also full of silver and gold. That is, all these their wrong ways have produced results for them. And there is no end to their treasuries. Their land is also full of horses, and there is no end to their chariots. He said, the land is also full of idols. But it's not just about prosperity. Let's look deep inside and see what it came out of. Their idols are, they worship the work of their own hands, that which their own fingers have made. Now, please, there's so many things I want to read, but let me stop here because I really wanted to end my reading around verse 18. Let me just read verse 10. It says, enter into the rock and hide in the dust from the terror of the Lord and the glory of his majesty. Please notice this verse 11. The lofty looks of man shall be humbled, the haughtiness of men shall be bowed down, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. Now, please, I want you to note that very carefully. It said, for the day of the Lord of hosts shall come upon everything proud and lofty, upon everything lifted up, and it shall be brought low. Now, I now began to describe all the things that are lifted up, upon all the cedars of Lebanon that are high and lifted up, and upon all the oaks of Bashan, upon all the high mountains, and upon all the hills that are lifted up, upon every high tower, and upon every fortified wall. Now, these are the things that the day of the Lord of hosts shall come upon all these things. That is, God will bring judgment upon them. These are the things that people have produced out of walking according to their own ways. And these are the things that have given them confidence in the way in which they walked. He said, the day will come, which is called the day of the Lord, and that day shall come upon these things, and judgment shall be upon them. Now, we've been speaking about this issue of walking in divine authority. And I'm happy with what we discussed last time, and I titled that message, Drinking the Cup of the Lord. And one thing we emphasize is the fact that, authority is conferred upon people. Now, there are two ways by which people get authority. That Jesus said that the rulers or the great men of this age, they lord it over people. That is, when you find a man in the natural realm, he has acquired power, maybe through wealth or being appointed to political office. He now becomes a lord over people. But Jesus said concerning disciples that if you want to be in authority, what you will do is that you will become a servant. You will have the heart of the servant. You will always be looking for the opportunity to pour forth a blessing of to be of service into the life of somebody else. That will be your primary concern. He said, when you do that, you will find authority conferred upon you. The interesting thing about God is that, you see, God always wins. I don't know whether you understand what I mean by that. That is, let me give an example. With the believer, before God can bless you with something, material especially, he must be sure you really don't want it anymore. I don't know whether you do what I'm going to say. That is, you will reach a place in which you say, if I perish, let me perish. God says, okay, you won't perish. But if you say, no, I must not perish. I say, go, you will perish first. That is, when we have perished you, then we can now raise you up again till you are no longer afraid of perishing. In the same manner, it is with authority. When you are no longer concerned about being in power, but being able to help and bless, then God gives you power so that you will be able to use the power to help and to bless. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now, the life of Joseph before Pharaoh, beautiful example. What happened to Joseph? He interpreted the dream of Pharaoh that described the problem, and then he now preferred a solution so that his solution might be carried out. Power and authority were given to him. Do you get my point? Please, you must always get that point. As we are going on, we read from Isaiah chapter 55, something that we studied when we were discussing creating the opportunities for prosperity on radio, that you must get to think the way God thinks. When you think the way God is thinking, power is automatically made available to you. He said, bring down the mountains, elevate the valley, and the glory of God will be revealed. It's an automatic process. It's not something you cry and beg for. Please, we must take our examples from scriptures. He said, these things were recorded for our learning. There was no time that Joseph sat down and began to beg and pray, God, elevate me into the throne in Egypt. You know what I'm going to say? Use all kinds of powerful prayers. No. It's just that every time opportunity was given to him, he was there to serve. That's what matters. And listen to me, if you have that attitude in life, you will most certainly be elevated. God will raise you up. The reason is this. He's giving you the opportunity to serve as your heart really wants to serve. God doesn't give people things. He doesn't want people to be proud and lifted. This man is now a great man. That's not what God is looking at. God wants somebody who will serve. What did Jesus say? He said, just like the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. That's what he was saying. He said, therefore, you want authority on his left and on his right, you must be able, must be willing and be ready to drink the cup that he's going to drink and be baptized with the baptism with which he's going to be baptized. That's what we discussed last time. Can you remember that? Let me try and avoid reading the whole thing again. Now, there's something I said which I want to continue from. That's from Isaiah chapter 2 here. Now, you see, we read from verse 2, verse 3, and verse 4 about God's plan. This is God's eternal purpose. God has always desired, and it will most certainly come to pass, that his wisdom will be shown to be the correct wisdom. God will always, we're studying on Monday, about the foolishness of man. That is what men call wisdom. God will make their wisdom foolish. He will demonstrate the foolishness in the thing that they are claiming is wisdom. That's what God wants to do. And he will demonstrate the wisdom in his own things that people call foolishness. So he said, it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above all the hills. Now he said, because of what people will find, because of the discovery of the superiority of the ways of the Lord, people will now start coming to it that, look, this is the best way to go. Please, what I want to say is very important. Let's follow this carefully. Because this is the aim of Christianity. It is to demonstrate the righteousness of God. What do you mean by righteousness? Simply put, righteousness means to be right. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? It simply means to be right. If I bought an equipment, let's assume we went and spent half a million naira to buy a plasma TV, all right, or an LCD display so that we can accommodate the crowd that are coming to listen to the teaching of the Word of God. And then when we finish, somebody say, look, let's plug it in here. And another person says, no, please. No, let's not plug it. We need to use a step down. This is an American design. So we have to step it down to 120. Righteousness is demonstrated when you plug it in and it works or it's destroyed. Do you understand what I'm saying? Righteousness simply means to be right. Okay? If one man is so haughty and is so sure of what he's saying, and without listening to counsel and reading instruction, he said, look, nobody today will start to do this thing. You know, like how people say, you just plug it. And then he starts seeing smoke instead of seeing photograph. Instead of seeing pictures, then the wickedness of his ways will have been demonstrated. That is righteousness, the demonstration of God's righteousness, is to find out at the end of the day that God was right. Are you getting the point I'm making? So that basically that's the meaning of the word righteousness. And God wants to do that to demonstrate that he is righteous and there is none else. That anybody who will be declared as righteous on the earth will be because he has come to agree with the will of God. Are you getting my point? And please let me emphasize this. God has a way concerning everything. There is nothing in life that God doesn't have a specific statement to make and that concerning it. There's nothing. God has something to say about everything. And to do things the way of God is actually the true meaning of righteousness, because God is always right. Are you getting my point? Now, so he said, this is the plan I have. It shall come to pass that the mountain of my house will be established above every other mountain. That is, if you find, now listen to what I want to say, it's very, very practical. If you find a man build a business, build a company, build an enterprise, build a charity work, build a ministry, according to what I say, according to my principles, you will find that at the end of everything, he will be above every other one. Look, it's a very simple thing. That's what the Lord was saying. Are you getting my point? That is, if you find a nation that is run according to my principles, he said righteousness exalts a nation. That at the end of the day, you will find that this nation is to be found above every other nation. He said, but sin is a reproach to any people. At the end of the day, anyone who's working against divine order, he will definitely go down. Now, let me tell you something. No matter how high somebody is today, he can go down. No matter how high a nation is today, he can go down. No matter how high a company is today, it can go down. And this is, the rest is also true. No matter how low somebody is today, he can go up. Do you follow the point I'm making? Now, if it is security you are looking for, please find where people are walking according to righteousness. No matter how low they are today, one day they will go up. Are you getting the point I'm making? Now, these are things I'm absolutely persuaded about. It's not good preaching. You know what I mean by good preaching? Say it's sweet. Let them shout. Let everybody be happy. No. It's what I am absolutely persuaded about. Because God said righteousness exalts a nation. Just by watching from outside, except there is revival, all right, in some places, no matter how high they are today. I like what the way Jeremiah said it. He said, thus will Babylon go down and shall not rise again. That is, in one day you can find some that is high and lifted coming down. But what am I trying to explain? The reason is simple, is to fulfill the counsel of God, to fulfill the order of God. He said, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills. Now, all the nations shall flow to it. That is, when you find where God's ways are exalted, eventually everybody will discover that that is the way to go. Are you getting my point? Now, but that's not what I want to emphasize on. I want to talk about the people through whom God does things. He said, for this reason, I explained that last week, when God gives a word, now, anything God wants to do, remember what I said, the first thing he does is to write it down. Then he allows people glimpses into his words, into his record, in what is called prophecy. That is, what is recorded, people read it and talk about it, and you say the person is prophesying. You follow what I'm saying? Now, the interesting thing about it is that in each person's life, the amount of revelation or manifestation you feel, you experience, is dependent upon taking certain measures. The first one, of course, is that of faith. You must, in your heart, agree with what God is doing. And then number two is that you must prepare by way of cooperation with what God wants to do. So, because of that principle, Isaiah now said in verse 5, he said, O house of Jacob, come and let us walk in the light of the Lord. Now, please, notice this. As at that point, what was described was not being experienced by the house of Jacob. And he now began to explain the reason in verse 6. He said, for you, talking about the Lord now, have forsaken your people, the house of Jacob, because they are doing the exact opposite of that which is recorded in verse 5. In verse 5, he says, O house of Jacob, come and let us walk in the light of the Lord. In verse 6, he said, what are they doing currently? He said, they are filled with influences from the east, eastern ways, he says in New King James here, and they are soothsayers like the Philistines, and they are pleased with the children of foreigners. That is, the children of foreigners there, talking about people who are walking in a manner that shows that they are not in covenant with God. Do you get my point? They are walking according to laws and standards that are different from that which God had given to them. He said they are pleased with such people. Now, this is the interesting part. Now, their current ways, you have to understand something about human beings. They are not exactly, you see, revelation is interesting. What I mean is that human beings are different from animals, all right? The animals walk by instinct. They don't walk by knowledge. You know what I mean by knowledge? They walk by instinct. It's not really They don't have an idea of what's going to happen tomorrow, and then they shape their ways so as to get ready for that which is going to happen tomorrow. If the animal is hungry, he wants to eat. Now, if he sees food and he doesn't eat it, it's because of the experiences of the past. Maybe they have told the dog, if you ever put your mouth in that plate, you are going to get some lashes on your back. So the dog is hungry, but doesn't eat the food. Why? Because of experience. Now, human beings are the only ones that have the ability to use revelation, understanding of what we come to shape their current day activities. Do you get what I'm going to say? That is, expectation of what will befall people affects them today. That doesn't happen with animals. It doesn't happen with any other group of beings. To be able to use what has not yet happened, but you have been informed concerning, and use that to control what you are doing today. No, only human beings can do that. So the order of God actually is for people to be able to see things that have not yet happened and control their life today by that which they have not even yet experienced. Do you follow what I'm trying to say? That is divine order. It's important we understand it. Now, but what do people do? On Monday, I was talking about what is natural and what it means to be carnal. What is carnality or fleshly is to walk like a natural man. So what would a natural man do? A natural man tends to walk more by instinct. Do you follow what I'm saying? I'm trying to explain something here. So the reason why these people, listen, are filled with influences from the East, and the reason why they are soothsaying like Philistines is because they have tried it and they have gotten temporary results. That's what I'm trying to explain. Do you follow what I'm saying? They have walked by experience that, look, when you do this, you get money quick. When you do this, you get promotion quick. Now, please, get what I'm saying. Because you have to be careful. You know, I keep on sounding this warning. When people say, it works, it works, it works. I said, it works. How do we judge what you are calling it works? I rather build doctrine on the word of God first. Now, experience might help you understand God. Do you get what I'm saying? But doctrine is still built upon the written word of God. And listen, whether it works, in quote, or not, is not the issue. It's whether it is right. Do you follow what I'm saying? Because there was a day, let me just explain what I'm saying. Many years ago, I was talking with somebody. I noticed something then. That, now, if you're a bank, I'm not thinking about you, all right? This is just a matter of fact. This was very common amongst bankers. They jump from one place to the other. You know, before Charles Ludo consolidated everything, slowed it down, but it's still going on. You know, you employ me today. You train me, finish. I'm not even thinking about you. I am waiting for my 3 years or so to be over. I know I will go to another place and go and get another job. And as soon as I settle down there, they employ me again. I start working. All right. Then somebody opens another bar, offers me a higher pay. I jump again. So then I considered it. I was a resident doctor. We were not jumping people. Do you follow me? By nature of the job. So because you see, there's something about life. Different professions allow you to manifest the iniquity in the heart of human beings in different ways. No, it's true. If you go and see when John the Baptist was talking to people, no, you see. The soldier will come, who is a type of soldiers and policemen in Nigeria or in the world of today. He will say, don't take anything from anyone by force, be content with your wages. Do you understand my point? He's showing you that when you give a human being power, he tends to oppress people with it. Now, a cleaner in an office cannot do that. Do you get what I'm trying to say? Even though it's in his heart, you will never find out. You need to give him power first before you know he's there. Pride is in the heart of people. If you don't elevate a man in the office, all right? Somebody told me something some time ago. He said he has noticed that doctors are generally very proud people, and it's not a lie. The profession allows pride. Lawyers also. They want to talk to you. They feel like they should be talking down their nose to you. You are not learned. That's nonsense. The history of being learned, let me tell you for those of you who want to know. What it means to be learned, it just means you went to school. Those days, professions were learned by apprenticeship. Only 3 people went to school to learn their professions. The priests, the physician, and the scribe. That's what they call a lawyer. That's when you hear the word learned, that's what it means. It doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean you know the law. I hope you get what I'm saying. What I'm telling you, you know, even most lawyers don't know it. The origin of the word learned, it just means that there is a formal education system that involved your going to school and reading books and writing and taking exams. All other professions, whether you wanted to be a merchant, you didn't go to school to be a merchant. You just joined a merchant company and you became a merchant. You understand my point? Now, let's not digress too much. So you find out, all right, that people, each profession gives people the opportunity to manifest the evil in the heart of man generally. So look at the tax collector. They go to John the Baptist to go and pray, to go and repent. What must we do to be saved? The man will say, don't charge people more than is their rightful due. Do you get my point? Now, nobody else can do that apart from the tax collector. So he specifically spoke, all right, to issues in the heart of man that their trade had allowed them to manifest. That's just the way life is. Do you get what I'm saying? Uh-huh. Well, if you're an unjust person, the best way to manifest it, the easiest way to manifest it, be a judge. The injustice in your heart will come out suddenly. If you're in power, you don't have to be a judge of a court. You're in the office. You are the one in charge. You follow what I'm saying? Now, I'm just trying to explain something. So because of the atmosphere in Nigeria then, all right? So don't think that bankers are evil people. I never said that. I never said that. I'm just an average person who finds himself in the banking profession working by instinct. Now, you know, that's what I'm laying my emphasis on. Working by instinct. That atmosphere allows people to manifest what is wrong in the heart of an average person. Because that is a profession only, almost exclusively, that allows you pop from one place to the other. The telecom people came and gave a bit of it also. But generally, till now, it's the banks that do. But then it was really terrible. It was really terrible. So once, now this is why I'm telling the story. So once I was discussing with somebody, I was just thinking about the morality of the whole thing. I called one guy, I said, is this right? He said, it's the fastest way to move forward. I said, that doesn't make it right. I said, doesn't make it right. To be unfaithful, untrustworthy, and undependable cannot be the fastest way to move forward. It can't be. It cannot be. I remember once when I finished my youth service, I needed a job, of course, as a young man. I had applied. I wanted to do my postgraduate. So I had applied in Luth. Now, I went for interview about over a year, I think, before we commenced work. We're given our appointment letters maybe sometime, or we're at least admitted into the program sometime like June, July this year. But because of crisis in the health sector, then we couldn't resume work. The nurses nationwide were on strike for a long time. All right? We couldn't resume work until January. And that's, I started my residency on the 3rd of January 1995. Okay? Now, so I finished youth service November 93. Now, just watch that. In between, I wanted to do something. Now, God arranged it. I finally started working somewhere at night. Nights and alternate weekends in the month from July 94. Now, before that July 94, that's what I want to talk about. Now, the summary of it is that God arranged that I had the time to study. I had the time to listen to the word. I went for every teaching program in Lagos. Everywhere. I went everywhere listening to the gospel. All right? I had nothing else to do. Then I used to move around with my cousin in whose house I was living. I was a driver. And that meant that I had the car stereo to use all the time. I used to chop, not an exaggeration, 2 tapes, you know, for just, at the go, at the come. I remember the day I stood, there was first scarcity. I parked somewhere while they went to look for fuel. While inside there, I chopped 2 tapes, Wonders of Faith 1 and 2 by Bishop Oyedepo. I mean, it was a good life. You get my point? It really was a good life. Now, this is the issue. So one day, of course, because it's me now that I understand it was a good life, and now that maybe you think, yes, Pastor, that was good then. If you were there then. If I remember my friend Chooks, I came for Local, that's our alumni fellowship convention. As soon as I arrived, this fellowship holds in April, all right? End of April. As soon as I arrived, they said, Black, they called me Black. He said, I hear you are the only jobless doctor in Nigeria. That was the way, I still remember. They were gathered in front as I was approaching. He said, hey, Black, I hear you are the only jobless doctor in this country. Now, so, you know, under such circumstances, just imagine. I was in the house. Then, I remember this particular day, my auntie was around. Was I not looking for work? I was. And really, it wasn't difficult to find a job as a doctor in Lagos. Then it wasn't difficult. Let me tell you what was difficult. I'll go discuss with somebody. So you want to work for us? I say, yes. So how long do you intend to work? I say, actually, I've applied for residency in Luth. As soon as I should start, I will walk out and go and start. They will look like Otio. No. They were not interested. That happened a number of times. So that day I was talking with my auntie. And actually, this is one of the problems that people say, that how long do you plan to work? And I tell them simply, I just want to fill the time for a few weeks. Now, I did not realize I would have to wait for that long. I said, we have gone for interview, and I believe I will be admitted into the program. And as soon as they say we should start, I will leave, which meant that my chances of working for them for more than a month or two was rather narrow. And they didn't want that. Okay? So I mentioned to my auntie that that's the issue. He said, why do you tell them that you will soon leave? I said, because they ask. It's not as if I volunteered the information, really. They ask. He said, why don't you just tell them that you work for them for long? I said, that would be a lie. Why should I tell them that? I'm not planning to work for them for long. He looked like this boy himself. I said, boy, it's a simple thing. I cannot open my mouth. I know the fact. That's what used to happen. The man would say, okay, so if you start working with us, how long do you intend to work here? Because they are used to people just, you know. And I tell him simply, okay, I'm not planning to be a GP. I want to do residency. I have already attended the interview in Luth. I am going, we'll discuss the subject or the specialty I'm going into. And I say, as soon as they say start, I'm gone. Did it produce results? No. Did I get a job? No. But was he right? Yes. So I discussed with my friend, then I said that, is this? He said, this is the quickest way to move forward. I said, but the morals behind it is very, very faulty. You can't work like that. You cannot be undependable. You can't be indisciplined. You cannot take a job, sign an agreement, and break it suddenly because the other person offers to buy you out. I said, no, it does not make sense. And I remember, don't let me give details. Don't let me even digress. I want to talk about one footballer in Nigeria. Because when he became big, one club he had signed for, because now he had gone for World Cup. He said, no, I know they go there again. You're going to Europe. How long did it last in Europe? Do you get the point? I mean, there's somebody I have in mind. I mean, some of you are very good at football. You know what I'm talking about. There's something. Everything in life. Life is, look, all this temporary thing. Look. 15 years will pass just now. Then the fad will pass away. Do you get my point? Something that's raining now will soon end. God allows people who worked in the raining thing to decide where they will be when it ends. And be, look. Listen, I said something that human beings work by instinct. That's basic human beings, natural people. That's not what God... We have the ability to walk by revelation. For the joy that was set before him, Jesus endured the cross. The natural person runs from the cross. The natural person runs from the cross for the pain that is currently being felt. Do you follow my point? Not the joy that is set before him. Is it after the cross? What do you mean after the cross? The cross, uncle. But we have the ability. God has given us the ability to, because of revelation, understanding. Actually, we do it every time in life. All right? You find a friend who's maybe doing sharp business and making some money. You are laboring in school. You don't have time for business. You are reading. Why? You have deferred your own enjoyment for the next 4 years. Let me come out of here with a degree. Then I'll come and join him in doing business. Are you getting the point I'm making? So I explained that to this guy. They said, no. Doesn't make sense. We cannot work like that. I don't care how fast your promotion is. I don't care that, okay, you have increased your income just by jumping through. You know, they go around, sometimes they go around in circles. You are in bank A today. By tomorrow, you are in bank B. By the following day, you are in bank C. Then you come back to bank A, 2 steps higher than the other people you left there. Just because if you are an assistant manager here, when you are going to the next place, they make you a deputy manager. And then those ones save. Anyway, that's why a lot of them collapsed. You cannot run a business like that and eventually you won't collapse. If you check the strongest banks now, all right, the real solid one, I don't mean the fly-by-night ones. They didn't like stuff like that. In fact, a lot of, even those guys knew, the real good ones, where are you coming from? You mentioned, what are you there? Say a manager. Say, here, we'll make you assistant manager if you want the job. And we're not going to pay you more than they are paying you if you want the job. Because the honest is that they know they are good. They're not begging you. You want to work with them. Yeah, what I'm saying is a matter of fact. There are places that people don't jump to. Because you jump there, they bring you down first. They bring your head to a real level. No, they don't want to fool you. You think you go around saying you're a senior manager, they know that the substance, your intestine, is the intestine of an officer. That is, between you and senior manager, there's assistant manager, there's manager. So they've checked your makeup. The fact that they are fooling you somewhere else, they're calling you something, they are not fooled. They know. They want to settle you. This one I'm making. I said, look, this doesn't make sense. Because it is just against basic principles. The only principle that agrees with it is quick gain. Do you get my point? The only explanation that makes it make sense is quick gain. Do you get the point I'm making? Yes. And I said, look, let me tell you something. You have to be honest, careful how you interpret things. You may find somebody move from here to there and he was elevated. And you think it means you should. You don't know why he moved. I was talking to a friend recently. I said, where are you working? He told me, why? He said, nah, he decided that, look, he needs to work, be innovative. The job where I was working before, I was becoming dead, you know? Just, he had a lot of pay, but just routine, go in, go out, no. And the guy said, no, I can't just need this go in, go out every day. So let's go to a new field. You know, there are people who are like that. You copy such people, you're in trouble. Do you understand? You don't know what's really driving him. He's not looking for quick gain. Now, please, follow me in what I'm saying. Because, we're analyzing this scripture. It said, for their land is also full of silver and gold. Why? It said, there is no end to their treasuries. Their land is also full of horses, and there is no end to their chariots. He said, but verse 8, their land is also full of idols. That is their idolatry. Okay? By their influences, that is the influences from the east, by working with the children of foreigners, they have arrived at quick gain. Please, do you follow what I'm saying? That is the reason, not that they are stupid, you know what I mean? They saw the quick gain. Therefore, they did that which was basically not right. But you know what this is telling us? That's why I read down to verse 18. He said, enter into the rock and hide in the dust from the terror of the Lord and the glory of his majesty. You know what he said? For the day of the Lord of hosts shall come upon everything proud and lofty. Upon everything lifted up, and it shall be brought low. Now, what am I explaining? That you find that the fact that something is producing rapid results. So why doing what is not right? Quickly, 1, 2, 3. I have built a very big house. I have stocks. I have this. God said, don't worry. Listen to me, house of Jacob. The day is coming that I will visit the result of iniquity. Please, you must get the point. Now, let's get back to verse 5. No, in fact, verses 2, 3, and 4 described the plan of God, what God really wants to do. But you will see, if we just read in between the lines from the things we have said so far, that God is saying simply, what I want to do may not appear like it will give quick results, but it will give enduring results. Do you follow my point? That if anyone is going to be established permanently, if anyone is going to reside permanently in the top of the mountains, then he has to do what Isaiah said in verse 5. O house of Jacob, come and let us walk in the light of the Lord. You know why I said all this plenty talk? To emphasize the fact that walking in the light of the Lord is also for those who are currently enjoying the wages of iniquity. You follow my point? I don't mean that walk in the light of the Lord so you can solve all the problems. Because it's very easy to repent when you're in trouble. No, repentance is very easy. When calamity don't jump at you, repentance is very easy. But the interesting part is that Isaiah was not preaching to those who were experiencing calamity. He was preaching to those who were experiencing what? Prosperity. Because he said their land is also full of silver and gold. Yet he was shouting to them, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. What does that tell you? It's simple. We are not judging by results. We are judging by instruction. We are judging by revelation. We are judging by that which is written. We are judging by prophetic utterances from the mouth of his ministers. That's what we are judging by, not by what we are experiencing. That's what I told myself, my friend. Now, let me just say on natural plane, it was not as if one day I was proved right. But having considered it again, I said it's still wrong. It is still wrong to tell me the quickest way to move up is unfaithfulness. It is still wrong. You can't tell me that the quickest way to move forward is being undependable. It's still wrong. Are you getting what I'm saying? And please don't forget, God is judging every act, every thought that produces acts is deciding where God will place one today and not place the other person. If you didn't tune in on Thursday, I think you should go and listen to that message. Where I described faithfulness in that which belongs to another. Please, if you didn't tune in on Thursday, make sure you get the CD. Because one of the things I explained there is that people should be careful. Master said, come and give me an account of your work. He knew sack time had come. He said, I am too old to dig. And to beg,
shame is too plenty. I read the simple principle there. If you don't handle that which belongs to another person well, one or two things will come upon you. Of course, one day you will lose it, and then you have to return to either working extremely hard, harder than your age can bear, or you start begging. But what does that tell us? It tells us simply that if we handle that which belongs to another person very well, then when that season comes, no. The Bible says those that fear the Lord will never be in want of anything good. What I like to say all the time to people is that life is spiritual. It's spiritual. You can never prove God wrong. It's not possible. You are too small. The problems that people think that are, let's enjoy for the next 10 years. In fact, you know, someone was telling me, I was reading somewhere once about the problem of the black man in America. He said he leaves school. They offer him loans. He said it doesn't cross his mind that loans are meant to be paid back. You give $50,000, he takes it. Then when he has to start working for the people he borrowed money from, he said, this country is unfair. And I said, but they gave you the money, don't know you will pay. What I'm going to say is that all the things we do, there is pay day for everything. Sometimes it's delayed. That is where people will be established. You know, I'll say it like this all the time, that the wrong time to be poor is not when you are 20-something, when you are in your 30s. That is a good time to be poor. What's the big deal? It's a very good time to be poor. As a young 20-something-year-old man, trek all over town. Wear bathroom slippers to where people wear high-heeled shoes. It's good. The time it will be wrong is when your children are in secondary school, they are entering university. That is when it's bad. That is when it is a sign of God's judgment. A young man that is poor, what is the big deal? It's a phase of life. I mean, you know, one of the things I don't understand, oh God, please, I like to say this all the time. One thing you must never do is to try and impress people. People say, ah. Maybe people are going somewhere and say, ah. No, I've seen people talk like that, they'll be deceiving themselves. They say, young man, say, no, I only wear a money suit. You're looking at him. Me, I don't go talk. From time, God helped me with that one, me. He said, ah, your suit is fine. Is it an Armani? I said, it's written Armani, but between you and I, let me tell you the truth. It's a Chinese Armani. I will tell you simply, what is it? Me, Armani suit, $1,000, $2,000. Why should I be showing up that I'm wearing $2,000 suit? Will you like me via that? I spent $2,000 to do it. No, I'm not saying it's evil. People say that, why should you spend that amount of money if you have that amount? Do you get my point? But the point I'm making is this. I don't know why young people want to be impressing people. No. God helped me with that thing. I don't even know how he did it. Okay, it's instruction from the word. I learned it long ago. Impress somebody? Nah, yeah. Somebody said, Pastor Panky, why don't you have a car? That was then. Why don't you have a car? It's because I don't have money. That is the simple reason. You want another revelation? No, I will say it loud and clear. Why don't you have money? Because this is where I work, and this is a regular salary. You want me to show you my pay slip? Why don't you look for another job? No, I don't want. Right now, this is what I'm supposed to do, and I'm reading my Bible at night. I'm a young man, I say with pride. No, really. I remember one day, one of my friends said I should please escort him somewhere. I said, okay, if I'll go with you, we'll also go to that place. I didn't know it was a great mistake I made. I said, let me go and check with my friend. Because it was evening, to us walking in the hospital, we are closed, and it was evening. I just wear one small slipper. Thank God, no people have slipper that day. Wear a small t-shirt. Ha! Oh boy, where I went to look for a person was in one of these high-rise buildings on VI. I didn't know that for the bank at 7 o'clock, you still have to. I just entered the place. I see everybody looking handsome and fine. Now I look my t-shirt again. Instead of my friend to even read the sign, he now carried me to every table. This is my friend. It was in everywhere. I look at this boy like, what's your problem? Can't you see they're all wearing nice with me? Because for us, we left our apartment in the evening. Remember that these guys were still slaving till 8 p.m. No, what I'm just saying is that, look, even those days, that one, it didn't intimidate me. It wasn't my business. I said, this is the season. Are you following my point? Look, listen. As God lives, by the time I'm 50, if I want to buy that building, I will buy it. As God lives. Not joking about that. I have told you before. One day, it will happen. On my birthday, I'll phone two of you. I'll tell you I want an S600. Two of you, and I'll give you only 48 hours. See, my birthday was yesterday. Don't worry, I'm not in a hurry for gifts yet. The day will come. In season, I'll just say, Bible says, Jesus will say, go to the house of him that is worthy. That is, I know who to call. I will know the person, not somebody say, ah, pastor, you know. No, no, no. As soon as I phone, I say, oh boy, I have phoned one person, you are the second one. There's this guy I saw on TV. I like it very much. My soul desires it. And my birthday is just 48 hours away. They are selling this so-and-so place. So you and this guy, please, you know, join money together and bring it. It's season. No, I'm telling you. Season. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? But the problem people hear was that they found wrong principles and they gave them quick results and they held on to it. But Isaiah is saying that you can never, no, when you talk about walking, staying in the mountain, it means to be above all. To really be in authority, that's what we're talking about. To say to this one, go, and he goes. And that one, come, and he comes. He said, you will never get there if the temporary results you are getting is what is paramount in your heart. Is that, if that's your primary concern, you will never get to that level. He said, no, you never get there. You can fill your land with gold. You can fill everywhere with treasuries, with treasures, because of your relationship with children of foreigners. He said, good. He said, but those who are going to mount up to the mountain of the Lord, which will be established above all else, even in the midst of prosperity, you have to wake up one day and say, boy, we are pulling out. Of what? Because we have found out from the written instruction of God that this is not the light of the Lord. Do you follow what I'm going to say? Now, please quickly open your Bibles, Isaiah chapter 58, 55. Please let me explain something. God has a thought about everything. There is nothing that exists on this earth that God doesn't have an opinion concerning, or more of an instruction concerning how it's to be carried out. I said something on radio then when we were talking about that creating the opportunities for prosperity. Talking about who a righteous man is and who a wicked man is. Isaiah chapter 55. He said, seek the Lord, verse 6, while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Please notice that. The unrighteous man is what? Thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Now, please, verse 8 says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts. That is, I have thoughts. The problem is that you are not using my thoughts. He said, nor are your ways my ways. That is, I have ways. The problem is that you have chosen ways that are dictated by the influences, by your relationship with children of foreigners. You are getting the principle. He said, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Now, please, what I want you to understand here is that God defines the unrighteous man by his thoughts, by his way of thinking. What does he reason with? How does he assess the issues of life? Are you getting my point? That is, unrighteousness is not a moral issue. Unrighteousness is a doctrinal matter. Do you follow what I'm saying? That if God says A, B, C, D are correct, and the man says it is E, F, Y, Z, whatever, then that is unrighteousness, no matter how good the man looks outside. Please, do you follow my point? I'm going to emphasize what Isaiah said in chapter 2, verse 5, about walking in the light of the Lord. That God has revelation, he has things that are recorded for us to walk by. I have said all the things I have said to emphasize the fact that they don't always get quick results. And in fact, the people Isaiah was shouting to come out and walk in the light of the Lord were people who currently had plenty of money. But he said the way by which they are walking will not establish them in the place that God is going. You are following my point? Listen. Attaining spiritual authority, walking in spiritual authority, that's what we are talking about. I said, you know, we're talking about the goal of Christianity, going for the gold, being able to deputize for God. You know, all you need to do is watch this probe of power, the power sector. You know, it's enough to make a man cry. You follow my point? No, really. Listen, Nigeria is a nation. Just that we know that the devil is going out. But corruption is very terrible. It's a very bad thing. The way we've been walking is very, very terrible. But God doesn't change. No, that's what I want, want you to understand. God doesn't just change things in a flash like that for no reason. The only way by which he does it is to elevate somebody else to replace the people that are currently there. Do you get my point? That is, if the current president was the one that appointed the INEC chairman, you couldn't rig the way you rigged last time. It's simple. Just one man says, okay, I appoint you. I've not given you the mandate to go and rig the election. So it's risky. Are you getting my point? That is, it's a person. One person makes the difference. And I'm saying that God is breeding people that he can use to make the difference. That's what I'm trying to explain. We're not talking about, I've said several times, food is the smallest thing for God to give you. You know that? For God to give you food is very simple. In fact, all he needs to do is just carry you, drop you on the streets of America, you go chop, you go tire. You know that? No. If it's a house you want in life, God can, those things are very, they are too easy for the Lord to do. But he doesn't do them the way we think he should, because sometimes it aborts the training process for real responsibility. Do you follow the point I'm making? He said, first, I make you hungry, then I feed you in manna. Why? I want to see what's inside your heart, whether you obey the Lord or you won't obey him. I want you to understand that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord will a man live. He said, why do I do all of this? So that I might do you good at the end. Do you follow the point I'm making? I like one thing I read in, I read the story about, what's my name? Pat Robertson. All right? Pat Robertson. There was a time he had an encounter with a crazy woman. He didn't know the woman was crazy. He was starting a, TV ministry, and somebody said she's the daughter of a very famous man, and her father left her a lot of money, and she wants to give the money to the work of the Lord. Do you follow the point I'm making? And then the woman, so of course the woman cost him a lot in legal fees. He got a lawyer to be drafting an agreement. At the end of the day, he found out he was dealing with a mental woman. The woman was just simply mental. That was all. Right? She was a delusional patient, and she just went around telling everybody, Aliko Dangote is my father. I said, I'm an illegitimate daughter, and he has found out I'm the only good daughter he has. So, no, I'm serious. So he has left for me $60 million, and so I want to give it to the Lord. Ah! And the man said, breakthrough. Oh, God, Father, thank you. This kind of breakthrough, amen, the Lord is good. Okay. Cut a long story short, when he found out the woman played them very well. He said, don't tell those people, though. It's only you I'm telling. And once somebody starts telling you, don't tell those people. You are the only one I'm telling. I remember one of my friends. He told us a gist once. He said, he called two of us. There were three. He said, what I want to tell you stays amongst the three of us. Just people I'm telling. The other guy said, my friend, shut up. He said, tell me. That is how I'll go somewhere else and tell the people, only the two of you I'm telling. And one of them will go somewhere else, tell the people. Only, he said, very soon, the whole of Lagos will know. And only two people were told. They had a good laugh. He told my friend, shut up if you want to talk. What kind of nonsense I want to tell you? I will tell somebody. Let me just tell you now. Okay. Now, this woman was doing this only who I'm telling. That's how this man ran thousands of dollars of debt that he did not have, money he didn't have, because he was dealing with a mental person and he did not know. But this is what I'm coming to. He said, later he realized something. That woman would have given plenty of money, quite all right. Yes, let's assume that she had it, and she had. He said, but will it have been good for the work? When I was reading the book, I don't know whether I can say it humbly or not, I was in a better spiritual understanding than he was when he took those decisions, when he took those steps. Because I understood that it doesn't work like that. What powers something is not the volume of money. Is the spirit behind the widow's mite. Do you get my point? That if a widow gave a mite to something, all right, she has infused it with power that a multimillionaire dropping $1 million couldn't. Are you getting what I'm going to say? Listen, there is a generation of spiritual power that you turn and say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I call this need met. It's not just the fact that money comes, but that you took time to put a hand into the realm of the spirit and stir some motion. I don't know what I'm saying is making sense there. That is, to God, all these things are important. The night you slept, without food, not because you were fasting, but because there was no food. It's part of divine training. I know what I'm saying. Sometimes you say, maybe it's judgment for sin. Yes, at least it's payment. The sin is going. Do you follow what I'm saying? Yes, last time I talked about the amount, the walk in the wilderness, which was their own portion in payment for the disobedience of the fathers. It works. That is to do people good at the end. God says, sometimes I make them hungry before I give them food. He said, I made you hungry, then I fed you with manna. But let me see what I'm trying to explain. That you see, so it's not to give people food that's God's problem. He can do that anytime. All right? But that he has to build people up to a place where they can together mount up to that high mountain that is above all else, so that people can deputize for God on the earth, so that God puts a believer in authority. He doesn't become corrupted overnight. When he said that the last minister of health presided over the sharing of 300 or so, whatever hundreds of millions of naira, I said she may not have been a wicked person. She was dealing with principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. You think God is stupid? He will go and carry a child of God that loves the Lord like that, you know, just go and put you in a place where you don't have the power to shut the powers up. No, 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 no. Look, there are times he trains you first. All the experiences of you go to jail, you go to this, that Joseph had, was to prepare him to be the man that will preserve the life of multitudes. You think God didn't know that Mrs. Potiphar was a bad woman? It was part of his test. No, it was part of his test in life. Mrs. Potiphar was part of the testing of Joseph. Without which he would not have properly qualified to be the right hand of Pharaoh that he became. You are getting what I'm saying? Daniel, look at Daniel of course, these Bible examples are very important. Daniel in Babylon. Walking in the light of the Lord, oftentimes, a number of times, he will lose his position. But of course, you know what will happen to Daniel eventually? You go soon jam. You people will soon reach a junction where nobody can go forward again. Then you will remember that there's one man in the kingdom. You go and call him. That's just the way it works. And what am I explaining? That it's people like that God is training. Those Daniels. Do you follow my point? Those who God can plant there and his mind will rest. You know, I say this jokingly all the time. You know, God can brag on Job. Have you considered my servant Job? There are people that Satan will say, I have considered your servant. God, don't mention him. Don't mention, please. Don't embarrass me. What were you doing considering it? I knew him before. Did I mention his name near you? Please, I hope I'm saying it's making sense. And no, those are the issues. Those are the issues. It's to build people to the level where God will say simply, that one, leave him, I'm sure. He said, money lost. He said, not him. He said, God, we saw him take the money. I said, he can't take the money. What's wrong with you? I said, he can't. You are getting what I'm saying? And I said, that's what we are building up to. All right? Now, please, let me continue this Isaiah chapter 55. So he said, the unrighteous man is known by his thoughts. How does he think? And please, I want to just settle on that and I'll close with that. How does he think? When we're discussing that on radio, I talked about creating the opportunity for prosperity and I define a number of words because the way to spiritual power and divine authority is to just think the way God thinks about matters. That's it. And let me tell you, it's very simple. Look, when I say very simple, it's in everything. For example, what do you mean? This is a very, very silly example, but just think about it. What do you understand by punctuality? Now, there's a way some people understand punctuality. Punctuality means that we get there on time so that the boss will see that we are diligent. I don't know whether you get my point. We get there on time so that they will see we are the first to come there. I have seen people walk righteousness, you know, righteousness, just so that they can tell God I walked righteousness and tell themselves I walked righteousness so they can sleep at night and say, yes, I walked righteousness. That's not God's thought. Because, you see, it is still the pride of life. It's still the pride of life. The man just wants to be able to, you know, enter into the temple and say, God, I fast a certain number of times a week. I am not like that man who doesn't believe, he doesn't know anything he's doing. I pay tithe of all that I own. And then, you know, when I was a child, it would make you laugh. I thought that man, you know, Jesus said, who amongst the two went justified? I thought, yes, the man who did everything right. You know, as a child, that's what I thought he was saying. Because he said, that one would not even lift up his head. I said, wicked man, can't even lift his head. Beating his chest, I said, proud man, beating his chest. I didn't know that the man was too inferior to lift up his head, and he was in pain, beating his chest. Do you follow what I'm saying? No, really. So you show that, look, sometimes people do righteousness for ungodly reasons, and they don't understand that that's what's going on. And that's what the Pharisees were. Righteousness was, you know, when they want it's time to give alms, they literally used to blow trumpets. I know these days, people say that we stimulate one another to love unto good works by declaring loudly what we want to give. But let me tell you something. We also encourage Pharisees. I think the primary way to give as Christians is still to give in secret. You know, it's in vogue now in Pentecostal circles. If I want to raise money, it's easy to put you under pressure. Come and tell the brethren what you will do for the Lord. How can you in front of the brethren not do something for the Lord? What is wrong with you? Let me just tell you ahead of time. If that's how you give, you may as well shred your money, put it in the toilet and flush it. It gets the same result. Yes, it's painful, but it's true. It does. I don't know. You know when people want to pray sometimes? Please don't pray Pharisee's prayer. God, seek my checkbook. All this money I have given. This is my tithe. Look at the leaflet. I have paid. I'm not owing you. I owe you. God, I owe you. Therefore, you will give me my miracle. You decrease. Oh, please, I'm talking about God's thoughts. Do you follow my point? Because the problem we have is that we don't even understand. You know, sometimes people copy things. They don't know why somebody did it. All right? Because, you see, perhaps to the pure, all things are pure. You know, it's possible amongst pure people. You say, please, brethren, we need 25,000 naira to quickly pay up something. Please, who will give me 5,000 naira there? You know, we're not thinking about it. I just want to be sure I have my 25,000 complete because somebody's waiting outside to collect it. Somebody say, wow. Did you see how that pastor quickly raised 25,000? I'm going to my church to do the same thing because that thing seems to work. But you don't understand, I'm talking to men of understanding. Do you follow my point? They're not even thinking about it. You understand what I'm saying? Yes. But people will not forget the words of Jesus, actually, because we think there's something gets quick results. Anyway, let me see what I'm going to say. I just want to explain the issue that people sometimes do righteousness for the pride of life's sake. Okay? Now, but so we say, what is punctuality? To some other people, punctuality simply means, in their heart, if I don't get there, work will not start on time. There are people that have left their homes to come and patronize this business. If I'm supposed to be there by 8, if I get there by 8:30 and there are 10 people waiting, that's 30 minutes times 10 that I have wasted. 5 man hours in the morning because I didn't get up on time. Do you follow? Like the other day, you know, if you ask me, they say, make I ask my wife. I tell them something that maybe like what happens is Mondays is not very tight for me. So there are times, like the other time I said that, why did I not announce that we will not do School of Bible Exegesis that particular Monday? It was a public holiday. All right? Easter Monday. I said, why didn't I announce? So, why did I not announce? So, I think it was Olusemeka, my wife, that just said that, well, maybe we'll just leave a notice outside that we're sorry, Bible class is not holding today. And I answered them, I said, after the person has come all the way from Okunano to this place to come and read the notice. Now, you are getting my point. That I said, no, we will teach. I know we are tired, but we will teach. We will teach. Why? It's not about feeling good. It's just that, no, as God is my witness, several times I just say, I didn't announce. I wish I had announced. But people will leave their homes. And occasionally I hear somebody say that, that day I was very tired. But I just knew I needed to hear something. I finished teaching and somebody will come and tell me, say, I'm so happy I came today. That whole thing you shared. Oh, are you getting what I'm saying? But meanwhile, the only reason I thought was that, when I consider the distance from here to Transekulu, that somebody might come from, only to get here and they say, Pastor Banky just says he's tired. You know, you say, me too, I was tired when I got up. If I knew that this man too gets tired, I thought he was a spirit. Now that is this man too, they tired now. One man actually told me last Sunday that he thought I was a spirit. I'm serious. He said, God has come in the likeness of man. No, I'm not joking. He was saying it publicly. All right, that's just by the way. Now, so please, I hope you are getting the point I'm making. You are getting what I'm trying to explain. So that punctuality to one person is let's impress the boss. Now, I use that as a very silly, basic thing. But to let you know that God has thoughts about everything. About everything. There are women who are very nice to their husband because, you know, for peace sake, in the interest of peace. Or you go to a church where they have outlined how good women behave. So you behave like a good woman because in church, that's how they say good women behave. Not out of real understanding of the principle of God. Do you follow what I'm trying to say? But I'm going to explain something. That what really confers authority on people, all right, is that you have learned to think the way God thinks. Please go and listen to that series on radio. Because there's something I've explained that in the heart, all right, things exist. And the things outwardly, actually, the state of your heart, everything put together generates a spiritual force about you. And that's what decides how things come towards you or how they are repelled from you. I told you I'm going to do a series. I don't know the day we're going to start. And don't forget, I'll be announcing it again and again. When it starts, it will most likely be about 3 weeks, okay? About 21 days. And I call this spiritual, economic, empowerment, and development strategies. Yes, that's what we call it, seeds. And you say, Pastor, what are you going to do? Am I going to teach you, look, how to watch the stock market? Do I know how to watch the stock market? I don't know it. How to buy land? How to and sell land? I have never sold land. At least that one I'm very sure of. Do you follow what I'm saying? How to build houses and resell? How to trade in this and that? Most of those things I have never done. The only things I've really sold, you know, properly, I say, okay, please come and buy. If I tell you, will laugh. It's book and MP3 CDs. You follow what I'm saying? Yeah, those are the things that I really have. So I'm not planning to teach you all those things. What do I don't want to do for the 20 or 21 days I will be on the matter? It's just exposing the mind of God. For example, we define the word business. We can take 2 days defining what it means to be a businessman, what it means to do business. What does money mean? Because if you don't understand money the way God thinks about it, the grace of God will not attract it towards you. Do you follow my point? Because there's something about Christianity I've explained. Listen, if you leave Egypt, you must enter the promised land. Otherwise, we bury you in the wilderness. That's God's order. Once you follow Moses out of Egypt, please labor to enter into the promised land. Because the man that does not enter the promised land is buried in the wilderness. Are you getting my point? That is why they tell you that let the unrighteous be unrighteous still. If you want to not be unrighteous, better follow the righteousness with gidim. Do you follow my point? Everything. You must enter. Because, you see, there's no half lukewarm thing. It doesn't work. It begets the wrath of God. Are you getting my point? So, want to understand exactly. Want to do exactly what God is saying when we use words. So that if I'm relating with somebody, that is, I go out in the morning to do business. I go out in the morning to go to work. I go out in the morning to teach somebody. I go out in the morning to preach. What am I thinking? Because the way you are thinking in your mind, all right? Do you know it attracts things towards you and repels things from you? And this is the interesting part. When God is releasing his power, if your heart is not in the correct state, you can't accept it. Are you following the point I'm making? No, what I'm saying is so correct. Even though mighty power had been released, I said Jesus entered his hometown with power full in his hand. I mean, he was raising the dead where he came from. They said, Joshua, don't come. How now? Long time. Now, he said he'd be a big preacher now. Now, wow, how the offerings they go now? Is it true that your treasurer is a thief? We've heard rumors. He said, boy, you don't need fat up. You're not like your cousin. You remember that time, when used to preach? Your own kind of preacher, I don't understand though. Did he drink wine? No, that's how they were treating him. Why? Because is it not Jesus Christ? You follow my point? Is it not Jesus Christ? He said, by the way, Sha, I heard there's somebody that's sick next door. Maybe you are interested in praying for the person. But Jesus won't answer them. If you have been in the presence of spiritual drainers, you will know how it feels. One of the first things you will learn as a minister of the gospel is how to shut down when you are in their presence. You just shut off completely. They will talk. You say, I've been placed where people would, they are arguing on things I know inside out. And I won't say a word. I've learned not to cast pearls before swine. No, I'm serious. I can just imagine how Jesus did it. They will just be talking. He just won't be there. A few people will just come to the corner. Please pray for us. You put your hands on them. And the serious sicknesses will stay. Yes. The small sicknesses like fever, small ones like that, they will vanish. And the people will leave there and say, did we not say he didn't have power? Do you follow my point? Not realizing that though he came with power, the problem was the kind of heart they had towards him. Is this not Jesus Christ? You are getting what I'm saying? I'm not explaining something. I'll continue developing next time. I said God has thoughts about everything. The assignment of the believer is to learn God's thoughts about everything. That's what he meant when he said, when we pray according to his will, he hears us. You know, you can be praying for things, you don't know the meaning of what you are praying for. You know that. James and John came to Jesus, grant that we will sit on your left and on your right. And he said to them simply, you don't know what you are asking for. That tells me simply, it is possible to ask for something and you don't know what you're asking for. Somebody goes to kneel down and pray, God, please give me a wife. God said, do you know the meaning of the word wife? Spell it. No, I'm serious. You know, one of the things I have found out, all these sorts of methods and how to find a wife, how to find a husband. Let me tell you the truth. I have discovered that if you understand the meaning of the word wife, you will find one easily. If you understand the meaning of the word husband properly, you will find one easily. Let me tell you something about spiritual walking. What God takes away from people is understanding. Do you know that? He told Isaiah, go and deaden the ears of these people. He said, render their hearts dull. He said, say to them, see and don't perceive, hear and don't understand. He said, because if they understand, they will return and I will be forced to heal them. That is, if they have perception, if real understanding is given to them, I have to prosper them. If they really understand what it means to have a wife, I will give them a wife, even though I'm not happy with them. So what does God do? He withholds understanding from people. So a man will sit down and he's praying every day, Father, in the name of Jesus, I receive my wife. I receive my wife. And God is saying, you have already received your wife because the thing you're asking for doesn't even exist. And that's why there is none beside you. Because what you're asking for, it does not exist. You see, the way Pastor Banky has a wife, you understand. You don't understand what he has. You think you do. You've just seen a female beside him. So you see, that is the word, that is, if I were to remove skin from the people and allow the spirits and the hearts to float around, you will not be able to identify a wife. All you can identify is a female that wears the ring, and you won't want to wear your ring. And since we are talking Christianity and we are talking godliness, are you getting my point? Then God cannot manifest because you are not in agreement with him. So what is a man supposed to do? Go and discover exactly what God calls a wife. Now, so the point I'm making is this. So when I want to teach, maybe that seed thing that we're talking about, it's not, let us show brethren how to invest money. I don't know how to invest money. But I will explain to you the spiritual meaning of the word investment. I can take 2 days talking about investment. I will not mention the value of anything because I don't know. But I will be explaining occupy till I come. Do business till I come. Why did God say to man, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth and subdue it? We'll see the purpose of fruitfulness. While life is in stages, the stage of fruitfulness, which is followed by the stage of multiplication. Why did one man die suddenly the day he had an abundance? What law of God was he breaking? Listen, if you you know what I'm doing right now? I'm preparing for it. I'm trying to get all the different things that need to be understood by people that God will use to turn around an economy. Because most people, what Satan has sold to them is self-preservation. Do you get my point? Invest money that your children will be able to go to school. Invest money so that one day you two will be able to build your house. You know, the price of cement was 500 naira 5 years ago. It's 2,000 naira today. What shall it be in 10 years' time? Lay up treasure on the earth. Even though moth can eat and thieves can break in and steal, I will show you the principles of catching the thief and exterminating the moth. Why bother catching the thief and exterminating the moth? Just don't lay up treasure on the earth. That's what Jesus said. Are you getting my point? I mean, because one of the reasons why for years I never agreed to invest in nothing was that the only way they sold it to me always used to irritate my faith. They said, you never can tell about tomorrow. I said, but I can tell about he who holds tomorrow. You are getting what I'm going to say? Yes, I can't tell about tomorrow, but what about the man who holds tomorrow? What about the God who holds tomorrow? I can tell about him. He said he delights in the prosperity of his servants. He said no one that waits for him will be put to shame. Are you getting my point? He said the young lions may lack and suffer hunger. He said, but those who seek the Lord will never be in want of any good thing. I said, I can tell about him that holds tomorrow. And that one said, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. You've heard me say several times. The first day I said, I preached it here. And I went and obeyed what I said. Buy shares, buy this. I said it was because Professor Charles Soludo said, banks, not up to $25 billion, you are closing. And I said, our banks shouldn't close. I said, restore our captivity, O God, as streams renew the desert. He said, he that sows in tears shall reap with joy. So I said, brethren, investment is about sowing. And as God is my witness, the units of GTB I bought then, if GTB had collapsed 6 months after, as God lives, I'm not lying to you, I would not have batted an eyelid. Because my spiritual seeds can't die. They can't. Make sure you read this book. Great Faith Can Be Yours. The last chapter, I talked about the death of Isaac. No, there, I said sometimes Isaacs die. We have been confused by the fact that Abraham sacrificed Isaac and Isaac didn't die. I said, do you know why? Because as far as God was concerned, Isaac was dead. I said, but as a matter of fact, most people that God will say, sacrifice Isaac, this knife will come down, enter the neck of Isaac, cut his carotids, Isaac will bleed and he will die. But the word of God will not be put to shame. In Isaac, his seed will still be. Because of the power of resurrection. After all, did Jesus not die? Are you getting my point? Did he not live again? He said, a seed, when it abides, abides alone while it lives. He said, but when it dies, I understood that it's a spiritual principle. Seeds have a spirit behind them. I tell my wife, and she maybe, because my wife, she does business. Look, put money in this one. If you lose your money, it's a seed. You think it's cash? It's a seed. The one that dies now, there is a spirit that has been freed. It is still within that paper. It's restricted. Let it die. Then you free the spirit, then it begins to pour abundance towards you. And those are the things we need to teach. We'll get God's perspective. God, how are you seeing this thing? The one we see with, like him, with the spirit of the resurrected spirit of Christ in us, listen, grace is released. Are you getting my point? Then, listen, brother, you know what I'm trying to explain? Is that, you know, I said something last time. You can't really pray effectively until you have understanding. All you can do is cry, and then God gives you understanding. Then you pray with direction. Paul talking about boxing as one, boxing the air. You can't see what you are dealing with. But when you have shouted in confusion, God gives you understanding. Do you get my point? You now say, I, Daniel, I observed in the books the number of the years that the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah saying that he will accomplish in the decision of Jerusalem is 70 years. Then he specifically hit something on the target. You are getting what I'm saying? That's the way it is. When we have understood God's mind, he said, it is not good that man be alone. God made the man. Then he looked at him and said, it's not good. That is, he had an understanding of what he's supposed to achieve. And he said, this way, he can't achieve it. So he made a remedy for it. In the same manner, when you have had understanding, now you look in your environment, this is not right. Then you can speak specifically about that thing. Are you getting my point? As authority is not about shouting. No? It's not how long a man prays. If you have it, you have it. Don't go and learn method of prayer. Go and listen to our series, Anatomy of Prayer. It's not methods. It's the person praying. Did you hear what I said? It's not the method. In fact, some people make a big deal about speaking big grammar when you are praying. What are you doing with grammar? God said, let your words be few. If you can say it as, say it, and go away from there. As few as what? Possible. But the brevity of the words, it can only be achieved when you have full understanding. Please, what I'm saying, I hope it's making sense to you. I hope it's making sense to you. That's why God gives people understanding. Next time I'll continue on what I'm trying to say. What have I said so far? I said, Isaiah shouted, God has proposed, we know. He said, but until we walk in the light of the Lord, what God wants to do will not be manifested. No matter what we are experiencing as results today, let us sit down. Brethren, it is time to get back to the written word of God and not fancy testimonies. Are you getting my point? That's what is real. That is why I have to walk. I told you. How many books are we doing this year? 12. Yeah, the first two are out. Beautiful books. I'm telling you. Choices.